Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today I have a special guest with me, Dr. Ileana Johnson. And I found her blogs by reading the Canada Free Press. And I was really just amazed that she was able to distill everything that that's been going through my mind and how I've been feeling about the direction our country's going. We talk a lot about political correctness, and we're seeing programs come online like Common Core, but I don't think people really understand exactly how this is affected or is affecting our society. And it's not by accident that this is happening. And I think Dr. Johnson just distilled it down with her insightful and well-written blogs. And people should go to her website, drilianajohnson.com, ilianajohnson.com, I believe. And I just wanted to thank you for coming on today. It's an inspiration, actually, to know that I'm not alone out there. And I'm sure there are people who believe, as we do, that something is dramatically wrong. But every time we stick our heads up to ask a question, we're shouted down by this minority. And it's not the majority. That's what people really don't understand. This is a minority of really loud, screeching voices telling us we're racist, we're xenophobic. I'm done with that. I don't subscribe to that. Our show doesn't. And you unapologetically explain why this is happening. And I want to thank you so much for coming on my show today.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. George, for having me. I guess I'm the perennial teacher, although I have retired in 2008 after 30 years. I'm grateful that you have invited me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And give us a little bit of your background so that people can understand where you're coming from.
Well, I actually did live in the liberals' future. I'd lived under socialism and communism for 20 years, and I know exactly what it's about. And all these fast transformations that are taking place in our society, I actually recognize because we have experienced them, and they were utter failures. And it boggles my mind that these people think just because the right people haven't tried it, it must really work if the right people will try it. And that's just it's a fallacy. And I try very, very hard to dispel that through my blog, through experiences that I share with my readers. But in spite of that, their voices, as you said, they're getting more and more screechy. And to me, it actually started when I came to the United States in 1978, and I realized that the society, as I had envisioned it, a free society, was actually, in education at least, was turning towards socialism, towards communism, and I could not understand that.
Yeah, it's been such a gradual and insidious process. I didn't graduate all that long ago. And to me, it seems like there's a complete disconnection between what I learned in school and what kids are learning now. It's become a business. There was a video which was awesome. I'm not sure you saw it, but there was a textbook of someone who represents a textbook company who was talking about Common Core and how it's all about the money and about them just gouging the system, but not really caring about the kids. They hated the children. It's a quote from her. It's not about education. It's not about helping your children. It's about indoctrination. That's how I've seen it. Is that a correct assessment?
I think so. It certainly didn't start that way. I've had several colleagues through my 30-year career who were actually extremely dedicated teachers, and they actually taught children the right history, not the revisionist version, and they taught them the truth and reality. Of course, my daughter always says, well, that's because we were in Mississippi, and the textbooks are 20 years behind. So I guess Pearson Communication, which publishes all these Common Core books, we're not selling yet in Mississippi, but there are still a lot of dedicated teachers. Unfortunately, they have to follow the dictates of this these Common Core standards, mm-hmm. which to me is not just another fad in education. And I've seen many of those come and go through my career. It's a dangerous fad because it is so insidiously promoting and indoctrinating collectivism and even Islam to the detriment of Christianity and the detriment of actual history. For example, Howard Zinn's version of history is now prevalent probably in every school system in the country, and he revised history according to his liberal elitist views.
Now, I see this as not just just our country. This seems to be a global phenomenon. I read, some information, an article from Yuri Bezmenov. You know, he was he's a Russian propagandist and an author who actually kind of distilled down how the Soviet system is set up or was set up. I think it's still the same thing. But basically, you have a small elite who are not elected, who are unaccountable, who do whatever they want. They live a completely different, alternative life than everybody else that they're trying to control. And that seems to be a cookie-cutter template that's been applied to the European Union. And I think it's coming here. I think we're seeing that in the way our system is being set up and in the laws that are being passed, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, all of these signing statements and all of these things that show up that basically make our Congress null and void because it's UN driven. So whatever law they create, you know, gun control, climate change, all this other stuff, where we never get to vote on it, but somehow it ends up in our laws, it ends up that we have to follow it. Is that part of a bigger hole in your opinion?
I think so. I mentioned in my article on the chickens of communists have come home to roost, I spoke about Bezmenov and his interview to G. Edward Griffin, mm-hmm. Which, by the way, he wrote a very good book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, where he talks about how the Federal Reserve System was established, our so-called central banking system. But anyway, Bezmenov talks in this interview about the four stages that occurred in this ideological subversion warfare that is taking place mm-hmm. with our children's mind and society in general at large. And he talks about these four stages, first being demoralization, and then second being destabilization, third being a crisis, and fourth, normalization. And I urge the listeners to read the article because you will find out exactly what he described, what is happening in our society. And of course, Common Core is sort of the first leg in indoctrinating the children, and it's been many years coming. It has been heavily funded by the Bill Gates Foundation, his personal money as well, over $200 million, and apparently there were 30 professionals, liberal teachers, of course, who were hired to write these standards. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them, a math professor and an English professor, actually refused to sign the standards because they said it actually dumbs down the education and indoctrinates the children into collectivism and aberrant sexual behavior and Islam. So if the very people, two of them out of 30 who have written these standards, so-called standards, refuse to sign the document, then it must be bad. Mm-hmm. And it is, because we've looked at many of the textbooks, and I have personally, and it's not the way education was intended to be. Math, for example, it should be exact. I don't want something approximate where the child comes up with a wrong number, but as long as they explain how they arrived at the wrong number, it's okay. It's not okay. I don't want to drive on a bridge that was built by an engineer who had an approximate answer.
You're absolutely right. And it goes the opposite way, too. If you get the right answer, but you don't explain to their satisfaction how you came to the answer, that's wrong, too. I mean, you can't win in this system. It's totally confusing.
And I agree. And then schools were bribed. They had that race to the top competition, and if they participated, then they received all part of billions and billions of dollars in order to implement a standard. So teachers pretty much had their hands tied. Mm-hmm. They had to teach by these standards or they lost their jobs. Well, it's a very bad economy. It's hard to find another job once you get fired.
You know,
so I can understand to a certain extent their point of view. They have to make a living.
They do, but their morale is shot. The people who are really good have left or retired. And those that are there, they're just going along to get along. I actually had a conversation with a teacher about a week and a half ago who's here in Atlanta teaching in one of the schools that serve the underprivileged children. And his main complaint was all of the paperwork. I mean, I can commiserate as a doctor. That's what meaningful use and all of this accountable care organization nonsense is about, too. It's about indoctrination of doctors, creaming you, killing you with paperwork, trying to tell you how to treat your patient, and it's coming from above down. Collectivism basically is centralization of the system. You don't make individual choices. An individual is not valued. You're part of a Borg collective, essentially. Is that a good way to describe that?
From my experience, it's a very accurate description. But of course, if you do a Google search of Common Core standards, the first few queries that pop up are going to be their indoctrinating standards and their description. And they sound really, really good, mm-hmm. such as that the whole standards are based on evidence and research, and that couldn't be further from the truth. None of those standards have been validated. They don't really work. They say that they're clear, understandable. Well, that's not true. There are people with PhDs who actually cannot help their children complete homework assignments or are baffled when they do an assignment or help their children and the child comes back with a D because they didn't answer according to the dictates of the Common Core standards. And they say that they're preparing children for higher thinking skills. That's not true.
Yeah.
When you are very young, there's no such thing as higher thinking skills. You're trying to force a child to think at a higher level when they're just trying to comprehend the world around them. So it's not possible, really. And it's a failure all around. They're using horrible literature with horrible examples of what an American or a human being mm-hmm. should be like or should behave. And they are also spending, in some textbooks, 30, 40 pages on Islam, even making children wear hijab and to school and actually go to mosques and pray. And it's one thing to learn about history and another thing to actually enact mm-hmm. current forms of church, of religion. So mm-hmm. if Christianity is forbidden, why is Islam allowed?
That's an excellent point. I mean, we had world history when I was in school. It was a survey of the different cultures, different religions. It was a didactic. Nobody acted out. Nobody was given value over somebody else. This is a completely different mindset. And anybody who talks back, if the student wears a shirt that's, you know, American flag on it, it's inappropriate. It seems as if the American culture itself is being, that's the problem. If you speak out, if you are pro-American, I mean, you are, you're an American citizen, you're in this country, somehow that's frowned upon. That seems to be the meme that's going on in school at this point.
I agree, Dr. George. I think it's a form of cultural Marxism, and I explained that cultural Marxism is actually a process of destroying all the traditions, the language, the religion, the individuality, the form of government, the family, law and order, and in order to reassemble society in the future as some kind of communist utopia. And that's not happening just in our country. Mm-hmm. It is happening in our other countries. I go to Europe quite frequently, and I've seen it happen, since I speak several languages, in many other countries at the exact same time. And I really don't believe in coincidences. I think this is just an organized effort across the globe, and I've observed it even in Romania, and I'll give you an example in a second. But I blame the non-governmental organization, NGOs or or lobbying groups that are actually operating in all these countries, and they all get their marching orders and funds from undisclosed sources, which in my opinion are probably billionaires around the globe. And speaking of Romania, I went to a museum at the Black Sea that has a lot of relics from the Roman time, and it has a lot of archaeological things that are quite important to the history of humanity, not just of Romania. And they were, like, there's a pair of statue of it's called the Thinkers. And it was in a corner, all dusted up in the dark. Anybody could have just picked it up and walked away with it. And it was not a copy. It was the original. And then outside of the museum, there was a Etruscan sarcophagus, and it was totally in the rain and the elements, and people were throwing trash inside of it.
Wow. My God. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Today I'm having a special guest, Dr. Ileana Johnson, who not only knows about this, who's lived it and can talk about where we're going. Everything is being couched in this. Everything's awesome. We are all together. We're all the same. Everybody's equal. The rich are taken from the poor. We need to have everybody on the same playing field. And it doesn't work that way. And communism doesn't work. That's why the Soviet Union broke apart, because it's not sustainable. And what I found in my research is that there's always this small amount of people who benefit from the misery and pain of everybody else, yet they keep telling you how lucky you are and how happy you should be. This is the same principle here. And it's always divide and conquer. It's all emotion driven. This is a psychological psyop, in my opinion, where you get rid of, first of all, they try to take God from you. That's number one. So you're your own God. This new age nonsense also is a means to an end. It's all one big puzzle that they get all these pieces together. No matter what you think, there's something for you in this system, but it always seems to work against you. And the bottom line is, you become part of a whole, your individuality is sapped, and they basically bribe you with bread and circuses to distract you from what the real goal and the real end of this thing is. Now, you said something before the break about cultural Marxism, and it's an excellent quote, and actually I'm going to take it from your blog. It's from the Urban Dictionary. I want people to really understand this. And it defines cultural Marxism, as you said, as the gradual process of destroying all traditions, languages, religions, individuality, government, family, law, and order in order to reassemble society in the future as a communist utopia. This utopia will have no notion of gender, traditions, morality, God, or even family or the state. Now, if people read that and look about what's going on in our country, it's really very, it's kind of frightening that that's coming to pass. Would you think, what's your opinion on that?
I think you're absolutely correct. We have had this war on Christmas for at least a decade now. I don't understand why just a simple holiday that really does not have so much as religious tradition, as is societal tradition around the globe, and it is enjoyed by all cultures and by all religions generally. I think the only people who are offended are atheists, and atheism in itself is a religion. So they've been going after that. In terms of languages, they are translating everything in a number of languages to enable people to vote. For example, in some areas in California, they have it in 8 to 10 languages, every ballot box, every ballot. So they don't think it's a good idea to have English as an official language. And history shows that countries that did not have a unified language did not fare well. And of course, everybody knows the story of Babel. In terms of religion, they're trying to destroy religion. Individuality, you're not supposed to be yourself. If you are talented, you must have been given some kind of privilege, non-existent privilege. You have to think as a group. You can't think as an individual, and we would have never created the society and the civilization that we had today if we did not allow individuality. particularly in schools. Mm-hmm. Government, we are destroying that. We're becoming quite lawless, and there's no separations of power anymore. We're destroying the family. If you look at television, there even ABC has even renamed its family channel. I think they're calling it Freeform now.
Yeah,
so
you're absolutely
I guess
right.
The family is supposed to be a freeform unit now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're really trying to reshape it, this entire, all these elements into what the commies believe should be.
It's all about follow the money. They give you the carrot, you know, you take the government cheese, basically, and they own you. And this is all across the board. And I noticed, too, that the people who are homeschooling their children are actually on the hook now as well, because they're considered to be like a private school, correct? So they also have to have the same standards for education as the public school children. So it's insidious. It pervaded the entire education system. Even if you want to take control of your child's education, potentially the government's going to be able to step in and give you the curriculum to use to teach your child, which is ridiculous.
Well, it's true. And once you control this population, whether it's with health care or you control it with education or whatever types of programs that the government comes up with, mm-hmm. You become a serf to government. And their idea of telling you constantly that there has to be social justice and equality, no, they just want everybody to be equally poor and equally miserable so they can be better controlled by an elite group of people. And I've seen that happen under communism. We did have classes. We had a huge lower class proletariat, and we had the elites. Of course, there was no middle class, and this is one of the things that they're trying to destroy, the middle class in the United States, because apparently it is the last stepping block in the completion of their plan. And as a parent, why exactly are we sending children to college? And why are we paying all this overpriced tuition? Well, they're actually indoctrinating. They're indoctrinated constantly by their teachers, even in subjects where they're not supposed to talk politics. Mm-hmm. They're given assignments in such a way that politics become the centerpiece. And if the student dares to buck how the teacher feels or thinks, and I say feels because they usually liberals feel more than they use their rational thinking. So if they diverge from how their teacher feels, then they don't pass the class or they get failing or lower grades.
That's happening in high school too, I understand.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I think so. It didn't used to happen as much, but it does now. And it's kind of sad because they have manufactured the white privilege and mm-hmm. the intolerance that we're supposed to have. And this being in the most tolerant country in the world, and I say that with 100% confidence, and these people that are screaming all this racism and bigotry, they're taking full advantage of minority grants, some of which actually go unclaimed. There are so many of them. They get minority scholarships and that sort of thing. So we have become from a meritocracy-based society to a whiny, claiming bigotry society in order to destroy what was good about our American exceptionalism.
I think you make an excellent point, and that's one of the things that really irks me. I mean, the Black Lives Matter movement, for example, is a manufactured movement. It's run by or underwritten by Soros. And it makes it really hypocritical that the people who are in the top 1%, Princeton, Yale, you know, the I think it was the University of Missouri, I can't remember which school it was now, they're in excellent schools. They have, the system obviously works because they're actually in the best schools with the best future ahead of them. And they're the ones whining about the food is not authentic Chinese food and they don't serve fried. I mean, you name it, the stupid things they come up with. Maybe we should have free education. It's just ridiculous. I don't exactly understand what their mindset is, but it's hypocritical, to put it mildly. And it's self-important, entitled, and silly. And my opinion is, same thing goes with the feminist movement. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, pronouncements of we deserve X, Y, and Z, but the reality doesn't fit the story that's being created. And people need to stop being cowed by people screaming at them and just say, I don't care what you think. That's one of the major disinfectant statements that you can make. I don't care what you think. Shuts people up pretty much every time and walk away from the situation. They want you to engage with them. They want you to have a ridiculous argument that they can't even really argue intelligently about. So they just call you a name. That's when you should say, well, obviously, I already won the argument if you have to stoop to that. So, I mean, we need to use, what kind of tools can, and let's take a break. But when we come back, I want to discuss with you, what kind of tools can we use to fight this? Because I think a lot of people have just turned off, have decided, I'm not going to speak my mind because I don't want to be called a name. And they're being bullied by the people who, they call them cry bullies at this point, who are just, they're telling you how awful you are because you have an opinion. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Back to Medicine on Call. Today we're having an enlightening conversation with Dr. Ileana Johnson, and she's also an author. She's published a book called Echoes of Communism, which you can find on Amazon and Kindle, Liberty on Life Support, and the UN Agenda 21. These are really huge topics, and specifically called UN Agenda 21, Environmental Piracy. And I think that, you know, we need to get into that as well, because there's a, as we've talked about, a bigger picture here. This is, and I've said it on my show before, every medicine is only one version of what's happening. It's happening in education. You just described what happens with teachers. It's happening with any profession that is involved with the foundation of our society. You have to educate your children. You need your health. You need your money. The whole banking system is completely corrupt. I mean, so this is a bigger agenda. And the UN, in my opinion, is underwriting a lot of it. We've talked on our show about the World Health Organization, the ICD-10, et cetera. But the Agenda 21, nobody really knows about that. Can you go into a little bit of detail about that? Because that's key in a lot of this.
Sure. They've been, liberals have been pushing this Agenda 21, which is based on the on sustainable development of global warming kind of thing, combating global warming. They've been around, I would say, for about 100 years, and they have tried unsuccessfully time and time again to pass this until 1992, when they passed the document. It's about 40 chapters in Rio de Janeiro, and it was signed by 178 countries, including the United States. And they developed three various documents, or three different documents, at this conference that was attended by over 40,000 delegates. So it was a huge conference. And, of course, our president at the time, George Bush Sr., signed us onto it, with the exception of the biodiversity, because it had something to do with owning somebody's idea or patent without really paying for it. We signed on to this, and although Congress never ratified it, it came close within about an hour, but it was shot. Dr. Kaufman contributed to that when he presented to Congress the biodiversity map, that these people proposed, which was moving people all over the country away from the land, away from so-called wilderness areas. And so it was never ratified, but elements of Agenda 21 have been passed ever since 1992. At various government levels with NGOs, non-governmental organization, and unelected federal agencies such as the EPA. And so there's not one place in the country or in the world that does not have a sustainable development plan, a green growth, smart growth plan, which is part of this Agenda 21, which aims to control every facet of human life, of human existence, anywhere from where you live, how you live, what you eat, how much electricity you consume, how you're delivered this electricity, the food, how you use your property, the water rights, building on your property, and so forth. So everything you do, how you navigate on waters, everything will be eventually controlled by the United Nations.
So when the government talks about putting money into self-driving cars, and it sounds like a pie in the sky, and everybody's just, oh, that's really awesome. I see that, and what you just described is a bigger picture here. If you don't drive your car, if you don't control where you go, somebody gets to do it for you, right? And somebody gets to decide that you can't just pick up and go to California if you want to go. You have to actually be on a grid. They know exactly how much gas you're using, where you're going. It's just ultimate control, is it not?
It is. You have you have a smart meter on your home. It's like a drone attached to your house that retrieves information without a warrant about everything you do inside your home. So you no longer have privacy. They control how much electricity usage you have. They know which appliances you have, what you do, when you do it. They control your water, your gas. They're now building smart appliances that you will not be able to control. They will control from a remote location, just like they control smart meters. Mm-hmm. And all this radiation, of course, that's emitted so many times a minute is not good for your health. And it has been proven through various research. And, of course, nobody's paying attention. But I've been to various hearings, and I've seen people terribly sick from these smart meters, for example. So it is a form of control. They want to take cars off the roads. They want to put bike paths. They want people in rails, in metros. But if you look in D.C., all these millennials who have pushed heavily for bike paths, they all drive alone in their cars, in their BMW. And they've actually studied this. They came out with the results the other day. And they want to put people into stack and pack teeny tiny closet size apartments, mm-hmm. because they're easier to control. And Dr. Cristiana Figueres, who is a big shot at the United Nations, was heard on a video, and people can Google it. She spoke in California. She said that we should all live in mega cities and in these high-rise apartments, and we should raise our food on balconies and capture our water on rooftops and our electricity with solar panels. Well, obviously, this woman has no idea how much land agriculture needs in order to feed 7 billion people. And she has a degree in economics from the London School of Economics. I was just flabbergasted. You can't do that. And can you imagine the level of disease when you put everybody in mega cities in order to take all the private land and agricultural land and give it back to wilderness?
Well, give it to the government, really. I mean, if you want to look about what we're talking about, do a Google search. I mean, the United States government, it controls most of the land in our country right now in the West. And we're seeing these various brush fires with cattle ranchers, et cetera, who are fighting for their property rights. Well, they're few and far between now. Most of them have sold out, bought out, or been pushed off their land, and the government owns it. So we're looking at mega corporations like like Monsanto and that ilk running our food industry. And it's so mercenary. The things that they talk about with genetically modified, people get really heated about for some reason because they obviously don't read. But a lot of things that they sell to farmers, they can't even replant. They're not, the seeds are not, you can't reuse them. You have to keep going back to the source in order to eat. They want to control the food supply. They want to control your health, your education, and they also want to put you in debt. So, I mean, this is like a, I mean, when you take a step back and look at this big puzzle, it's just like, wow, they've been plotting forever on this. Like, this big move towards everybody going to college. Not everybody should go to college, but if you think about this in a how they think, it's about debt slaves. These people end up in college with these huge, school debt. They don't get a job. They're always on the hook. They're part of the on the government dole, but from no fault of their own. I mean, they're going in it with the hope of getting a skill to be able to get a job. But I'm sure majority of those people actually don't end up that way. And it's like playing the lotto almost, or a casino, where you end up on the losing end, even though you go in there with high hopes and good intentions. But once you owe money, you're never free, especially if you don't get a job. Is that also part of the agenda?
Of course. Being in debt at all levels of your life is the ultimate goal, because you are indebted to the government generally. And if you think about it, if the United Nations wants to control every facet of your life, it will also control the facet of the life of businesses, and I'm talking about small businesses that make the bread and butter of a country, because there's a reason why we have the Fortune 500. There are not that many very large corporations in the world. The majority of business is conducted and they create jobs at small businesses, which have 100,000 plus in capital, in capitalization. So the idea is to put them out of business as well. And if you look around in the last 8 to 10 years, we have not really created that many jobs in the small business sector where it is important to create them. And all the data that they publicize from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they're usually massaged and modified to show that the economy is doing well. Mm-hmm. But we are not at 5% unemployment, as they say. On the contrary, the unemployment is double digits.
You speak absolute truth on this, and I can speak to it from a small business perspective, from a physician. You know, the solo practitioners, the independent doctors, are now only 55% of all doctors in practice. And that's estimated in the next 10 years, 15 years, to go down to 20%. So we're on the front line as well. We see it coming constantly. Government regulations, hospitals with the help of the government, pushing out and killing any competition. This is a complete crony-driven system, where there's a few friends at Fortune 500, but they don't, you're right, they don't provide the majority of the jobs. And there's another little piece that's being pushed, to this income inequality piece, where they want everybody to have a minimum wage of $15. You know, I don't know, maybe my mind thinks a certain way, but once you get that $15, you're now in the next tax bracket, and you're going to be on the hook to pay more taxes. And most people don't pay taxes if they're making a certain amount of money at all. They actually get money back. Well, that's going to end when you get your $15 an hour paycheck. So the government just basically takes, they'll be taking 24/7 from you, but they make it sound awesome up front. But you have to look down the road in these things, don't you?
Well, of course, and as a small business owner, you know that payroll, and probably in your case, insurance, are one of the biggest expenditures that you make. Mm-hmm. So if an employer has to offer $15 an hour to somebody who has no skills whatsoever, it has to come from somewhere. So they are either going to have to reduce production, or they're going to have to fire some people. And, of course, usually the choice is to lay off people. And if you look at restaurants, for example, you've noticed that a lot of iPads have appeared on tables, mm-hmm. and people are encouraged to place orders on these terminals at the table, and they actually pay at the terminal. So the only person needed in a restaurant now is the cook and the runners and the people who do the dishes or feed the dishwashers. So you're no longer going to need a lot of waiters. So here you are losing jobs. So in what used to be traditionally jobs for teenagers, and now people are trying to make it a lifelong career because there are no other jobs available. My butcher was complaining the other day that he has a degree in psychology. Well, it's true. A lot of college graduates, they get ridiculous degrees that cannot possibly be marketable in any way, particularly when you have people with engineering degrees who can't find jobs because we have increased, because of crony capitalism, we have increased the levels of all these H-1B visas, and they're bringing all these large corporations, they're bringing lower paid engineers from India or China, and they're paying them $20,000 a year, which is a really good salary in their country, mm-hmm. But it's taking jobs away from our college graduates.
On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We're having a really important conversation to try to get people to see the bigger picture. And I wanted to revisit, Dr. Johnson, what we talked about, the brainwashing that goes on starting in school, grade school at this point, and definitely ramping up in college. And I started off when I went to Princeton, actually, so I can speak to some of my annoyance with what's going on there right now. But when I went to school, I was by the book. You work hard, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. My dad came to this country and he built his own business, so I had a different mindset. By the time I graduated, I was completely liberal. So I actually went through this indoctrination process, not to the degree that these guys are, but it does happen. And the only way that I pulled myself off of this precipice was when I opened my own practice. I had to make my own money. I didn't have somebody paying me a salary. And it became crystal clear to me how I needed to conduct my life. And I think if the government becomes the babysitter from the time that you're from cradle to grave, they're doing everything for you. This is how they're one of the things that are helping to inculcate this problem, indoctrinate us, and get us to not pay attention to what's going on. And you talked about the four stages of brainwashing, and the first was demoralization. And I wanted to discuss that because I think that's what we're seeing in the media with these people, with the name calling, with all of these MSNBC mic heads making all sorts of pronouncements that are completely ridiculous. You can't say that somebody is working hard because that's racist, because it's against slavery. I mean, you name it. The ridiculous stuff they come up with, it's laughable. But people actually believe this.
Oh, I agree. If I may read a quote by Dr. Thomas Sowell to illustrate what you just said. He's an economics professor. He's brilliant. He's an economist, writer, and tremendous sage. He kind of encapsulated what ails our youth today, because they're very naive and gullible and idealistic, and they can pretty much be sold anything. But this is what Dr. Sowell said, quote, "The problem isn't that Johnny can't read. The problem isn't even that Johnny can't think. The problem is that Johnny doesn't know what thinking is. He confuses it with feeling." Because children, particularly small children, confuse feelings with rational thought. And if you tell them over and over early in life that they're special, they kind of form a distorted view of themselves. So they get all this undeserved praise at every opportunity. Even if Johnny walks across the stage without tripping, he gets an award. And no matter what they do, how badly, you can't tell them no or say no, this was wrong, because it hurts their self-esteem. They're told that competition is evil, it's bourgeois. Everybody knows that we're equal. Nobody's special in any way. We're all born with the same IQ, same abilities, mental capacity, intelligence, talent, no genetic irregularities whatsoever. And why even try to learn then compete, be the best that you can be and achieve excellence if we're all equal? And we, you know very well that we can't all be Mozarts or Beethovens or Olympic caliber athletes or Hemingways or Shakespeare's, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to liberals, we are all equally special, talented, and brilliant. But test scores tell a different story. So demoralizing people is off exposing these young minds that are so naive to Marxist-Leninist ideology without any counterbalance of American values. And Bezmenov even said that if he would take such a student and show them the concentration camps in the Soviet Union, they would not believe me because of this demoralization stage. And he said they would believe me only when the reality kick them in the rear end, and that's the end of his quote.
Well, you know, that's what really, it's fascinating how people can be so paternalistic and everybody's equal, but these are most, in my opinion, the most racist people, sexist people out there. Because if you are, happen to be part of a minority group, then there's something wrong with you. You can't learn. You're underprivileged. You need a special leg up. Someone needs to take care of you. Someone took something from you. That's their mentality. Why, if they really believe that, then there really shouldn't be a need for anybody to have any affirmative action, any special, because we're all the same. Right?
But exactly. And that is the stage of demoralization that Bezmenov was talking about. And the second stage is called destabilization. In this stage, you actually destabilize the entire nation. And how? Through the economy, through foreign relations, and through defense. And if you look at our economy, it has been tremendously destabilized. And I'm not talking about just the current administration. Mm-hmm. It happened before in other administrations. It's something that the population seems to be helpless to correct because it occurs in so many different points at the federal government level, at the state level, and at the local level. Mm-hmm. And so the economy is really, truly destabilized, and no matter who becomes the next president, it's going to be very hard-pressed to right this economy when we have $19 trillion in national debt, and actually with all the unfunded liabilities, we have more like $120 trillion in debt, if you count unfunded liabilities, Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. In foreign relations, we seem to have aided the enemy and kind of unfriended the allies. And of course, in defense, we have the smallest military that we had in many decades. The third stage that Bezmenov was talking about was called a crisis. It's manufactured crisis, and we've had crisis, manufactured crisis after manufactured crisis in this country, and I'm not going to go into that. Mm-hmm. And of course, the fourth stage is called normalization, when, and Bezmenov calls these people all the schmucks that eliminated the free market competition are now in power. And if you look around us, there are a lot of incompetent people in high positions of power, and they do not necessarily represent the best interests of the American people.
I think you can even go further. It's the actors, the Hollywood set, who preach constantly. Here we go with the Academy Awards is a perfect example of this. You know, all these people boycotting, yet they're sitting there, the top 1% making millions of dollars per movie, and they're whining about not getting an Academy Award. Maybe your picture wasn't any good. It's not because you're black, because it wasn't good enough. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, you've got Michael Moore pronouncing things about healthcare, how we should as Americans forego healthcare and want to put ourselves on the altar and die for the benefit of the country while he has the best healthcare. Why don't they practice what they preach? And why don't we hold them to the same standard that we hold each other? I could care less what George Clooney and the rest of that crew thinks. They don't run my life, and they certainly aren't going to tell me how to think or how to act. And when we decide to take our power back and stop idolizing people, and really, I think it all stems from having a relationship with God, frankly, you wouldn't be dealing with half of this stuff.
I totally agree. And, you know, we have to take back the family, really, because the family is being destroyed. And when they talk about the right to bear arms, they want to take guns off the street. They just want to disarm ordinary people who want to defend themselves. But I don't see Hollywood disarming themselves or not hiring bodyguards who have guns. So why is it okay for them to defend themselves but not us? And of course, academia has done a tremendous job in the last 6 decades brainwashing the kids into being these useful idiots. As you said, the media people, all the actors who all of a sudden, because they've made a movie on a certain topic, they're experts, or the movie makers, you have all these narcissists who think they're really important to the world, like Sean Penn, who put himself and his family in grave danger. People who have no scruples, they have no conscience, and they're so filled with self-importance, they think that they're so important they can tell the rest of us how to live and how to behave.
Dr. Johnson,
a lot of greedy individuals, crony capitalists, and a lot of people, frankly, and I've met many of them, who will look you in the eye, they will smile, and they will lie to you.
On that note, we have to go. I have to have you back. But tell us how we can reach you. What's the best way for my listeners?
You can go to my blog, Romanian Conservative, or you can go to IlyanaJohnson.com, and I write for Canada Free Press, usually 3 columns a week, and my books are available at Amazon in paperback and Kindle.
Please, I want to have you come back. We only scratched the surface. I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Dr. George, for having me.
Have a great day.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.